Good morning, everybody. Good to see each of you here. Thanks for coming out this morning. We're going to start this morning's service by standing as we sing the hymn, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. I love the words to this. It doesn't leave anybody left out to praise his name. It talks about young children and older people. Boys, stand. Well, there we go. All right, so all join together as we sing, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all the angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him all ye heaven above.
And good morning. We welcome you this morning to Columbia Methodist Church. And if you're watching online, we welcome you as well. Just a few reminders that right after the service, we'll have a quick meeting about safe sanctuaries. It should be about 15, 20 minutes tops. And just to kind of go over the church's policy. So if you're able to stay for that, be right here in the sanctuary. Also, don't forget about our Wednesday night meal this Wednesday at 5:45. You don't want to miss it, because we're going to have some world-renowned spaghetti from the famous cooks of Audrey and Bev. So it's their homemade spaghetti. It's the best in town, I hear. So you want to come Wednesday night to check it out, have a part in that, and it's going to be an exciting time as we come. I also play some games with the adults, and youth group meets at 6:30 right after the meal, and then we have kids group at 6:30 as well, which is right after the meal for ages 4 through 5th grade. So please take note of that. Also, just want to remind you guys of the different things that are available in the Northex area out here, as well as on the Welcome Center with the Dove for this month that's out there, as well as some other information regarding our church. And at this time, as we continue to worship just some individuals to keep in our thoughts and prayers, we want to keep Rich Gerfen in our thoughts and prayers. He had his second vaccination shot and did not have a good reaction to that shot. So he's been in the hospital for a few days. So please keep Rich in your thoughts and prayers. Also want to keep Owen in our thoughts and prayers. He was playing baseball yesterday, and he took a pitch right to the lip, got 5 stitches in the lip, as well as 2 chipped teeth. So if you would keep Owen in your thoughts and prayers as he's recovering from that pitch yesterday and playing baseball. We also want to be thinking about Audrey's son-in-law, John Schlick. He has an aneurysm on the back of his leg, so if you can keep John Schlick, Audrey's son-in-law, in your thoughts and prayers. And also, Gene's nephew Wyatt, who is 3 years old, is in need of a liver transplant. So if you would please keep little Wyatt in your thoughts and prayers as well this week, that would be great. So let us come together and let us proceed ourselves in prayer. And so God, we come now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for what you're doing. We thank you for bringing us here this morning to worship you, to gather together, to fellowship with one another. We give you thanks, God, just for how you're working in our lives, in our church, in the world in which we live. And this morning, we just want to lift these individuals up to you this morning. We want to lift Rich up to you. We also want to lift Naomi up to you as well, that you be with her, Lord, as she's battling cancer, that you would keep her and hold her close to you as well, God. We also want to be thinking of Owen this morning. We want to be thinking of John and Rich. We also want to be thinking of little Wyatt as well. We ask, God, that you would just wrap your arms around each of those individuals, let them feel your comfort and your peace and your strength, and put your healing touch on them, God, and carry them during this time that they might feel your presence and know that you are there with your arms around them. God, we ask that you be present this morning in our service, that your Spirit would fill this place, and that your Spirit would fill us as well. And that you might be pleased with our worship today as we come before you now and give you thanks and praise for who you are and for all you've done. Amen and amen.
The scripture for today from Revelations 2, verses 1 and 4. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." And from John 21:15-17, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of God, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord. May we write it on our hearts and carry it with us in the coming week.
Thank you, Audrey. Please stand again as we continue in our worship. And as Jesus asked him if he loved him, and Jesus wanted Simon to declare his love for the Lord. And this morning, I want to encourage you to, during these songs, to declare your love and say, "Yes, Lord, I do love you," and just recommit your love to Jesus through this time of worship. Please stand.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord, 'cause it's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. sing that again. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord, 'cause it's your breath, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Let's join all the earth in worshiping. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Let's sing that one more time in all the earth. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. 'Cause it's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour.
Tell him this morning how much we love him.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Let's sing that again. Tell him this morning, I love you, Lord.
And I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and I lift my voice to worship, to worship.
Please be seated. Well, good morning again, and to those that are watching our line, we continue to welcome you and glad that you are with us this morning as we are coming together to worship our Lord and Savior. So let us pray together this morning. Lord, we come now, we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we might hear you speak to us now. You would take away all of our distractions. And we pray, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. This morning, we're going to be talking about having a renewed love, and I think we all know that when we love something, we are really eager to talk about it, that we can't wait to tell individuals about that one thing we love. When we talk about love, I think the question is how often do we tell about the love we have for Jesus and the things that God has done for us? I think at times, we probably share a little less about the love of God and our love for God and our passion for God than we might do about other things that go on in our lives. That sometimes the other things that might be less important get more of our time and our attention and more of our love and our devotion than sometimes what Jesus does. Some of us, it's just because we're not pursuing and investing in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And for some of us, it's probably because we don't even know who Jesus is and might not have the relationship with him. So it's hard to profess that love when you don't have that relationship with Jesus. But right before Jesus died on the cross, we come and we see here that there's an encounter with Peter. An encounter with Peter in which Jesus asked the questions as far as, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter responded, yes, he loves him. And he says, finally, the third time, he was a little irritated, a little angry, because he said, Jesus already told you twice, I loved you. And the third time, Peter was really kind of getting irritated with Jesus, and he said, you know, why are you asking me these questions? I've already told you twice, I loved you. And the response of Jesus was the same. Go and feed my sheep. So we see that Peter professes his love for Jesus and says, I love you, I would do anything for you. And then what happens is when Jesus gets arrested, we find that Peter denies him three times. He is distraught, he feels defeated. All the disciples scatter and they run away. And they forgot the commitment they had made to Jesus. And we see here that it wasn't until after the death of Jesus that we began to see things change. That when Jesus shows up on the beach while the fishermen are out there fishing, when the disciples went back to the only thing they knew how to do, and all of a sudden, Peter realizes that's Jesus on the beach, that he is cooking breakfast for the disciples, waiting for the return, that Peter gets out of the boat and he goes to shore as quick as he can. We find that just like the fact that Jesus asked him, do you love me? That on that beach, even after he denied Jesus three times, that it reminds Peter that he will be renewed and his love for Jesus will be renewed. That Jesus said to him, I'm going to restore you, Peter, and on you I'm going to build my church. Do you remember that conversation, Peter? Because Peter, I love you and I'm going to restore you and the love that you have for me. And we find in that little short glimpse of Peter being restored that Jesus reminds us that our love for God can be restored and our love for one another can be restored. That if we renew our love and we're constantly renewing our love on a daily basis for God, then we will have no problem living out, going and making disciples for Jesus Christ. We will have no problem putting others above ourselves. We will have no problem loving others, regardless of who they are, regardless of what might have happened, regardless of their social class, regardless of their race, regardless if we agree or we don't agree, that if we are being renewed by God's love every single day, then we can follow in Jesus' command of loving one another. We believe that when it comes to Scripture, that God wants to fulfill that love through us by that relationship. But we also know another thing, and that is Satan exists, folks. And Satan exists, and Satan likes nothing else but to come, to seek us, to devour us, and destroy us like a roaring lion. That God wants to renew us. He wants to give us love. He wants us to bask in that love He gives for us. And Satan wants to do the opposite. He wants to destroy us and tear us up. He wants us to feel like we're not wanted, we're not loved. He wants us to feel like that there's just no reason to go on in our Christian life. That Satan has only one goal for us. And that is that we don't enjoy God's love and the love that He has for us. Satan's goal is he wants to distract our attention. That as believers in Jesus Christ, he wants to distract our attention. He doesn't want us to focus on a relationship with God. He doesn't want us to focus on serving others. He doesn't want us to focus to go out in the community to share the love of God and the love that God has for everybody. No, Satan wants to do what he can to distract us. That can come in many forms, as Satan likes to create chaos. He likes to create chaos in our own lives. That all of a sudden, a situation might pop up, and we're dealing with a situation personally. It might be a medical issue. It might be a personal issue. It might be a financial issue. Whatever it might be, Satan tries to create chaos in our personal lives. But he'll also try to create chaos in the church. He'll try to create chaos in the church so that we get so distracted that we're not fulfilling the mission that God has given us to do. Because Satan wants us to be preoccupied with things. He wants us to take our eyes off of God, and he wants us to focus on everything else that's going on. Whether it's putting out fires in the church, whether it's dealing with personal issues, whatever it might be, Satan will do whatever he can do to distract us as the believers of Jesus Christ and as His church. Because if we're distracted, then we don't experience God's love fully. If we're distracted, then we cannot fulfill the mission of the church. Satan gets scared, folks. He gets scared when he starts seeing the church move forward. He gets scared when he starts seeing us in our own personal lives move forward as we continue to embrace God and embrace His love for us. Satan gets scared when all of a sudden he sees that the people of God are doing something. He gets worried. He begins to sweat it. And so what does he do? He does the one thing he knows best, and that is to create chaos, to distract. You see, Satan would rather us be distracted than to fulfill the Great Commission. And for those that aren't saved, Satan would rather distract them as well, so they would never come to know the love of God. So they might not ever come to know the saving grace of how Jesus died on the cross for you and me and rose again and overcame sin and death. Because Satan figures, God can't have them, then I'll take them. You see, Satan's main goal is to make sure that we as Christians aren't doing what we're called to do. Satan's main goal is for those individuals who don't know Christ is to distract them so much that they'll never come to know the love of Christ, because that's who Satan is. But God is different, and God is individual. He says that if we put on the whole armor of God, that we can defeat Satan. And the only way we can defeat Satan is if we're living in God's love on a daily basis. If our hearts are being renewed. If we're being transformed. If we're living in God's love. You see, when it comes to Jesus, He came to give us life and the best placeable possible life, where Satan came to take life away. And it's an ongoing battle between Jesus and Satan. Life and having it abundantly and loving and learning how to love, or having no life and living in anger and frustration and hatred and living in all the expectations about me first. It's a constant battle, and the only way we can overcome that battle is if we live in the love of God. The first week we talked about being renewed in our spirit, and we talked about creating a clean heart in us and starting with us personally. That we cannot experience God's love if our hearts aren't right with God. If we're full of bitterness and anger and frustration, if we're full about it's all about me, then we cannot really renew our spirits. We cannot renew our hearts. And it's about our heart condition. It's about having our hearts renewed with God so that God can give us the love He has. And then last week, we talked about a renewed purpose. And we talked about how through renewed purpose that God changes things and gives us new direction at times. And that through some 29 years of being here as a church, that God has constantly given this church a new purpose and a new direction. That God is constantly working through this church and doing great and mighty things through this church. That God wants that purpose to be renewed in us. That He created with a plan to do good works to fulfill His mission. And then we know today that God wants to renew us with love. You know, when we love something, we are very eager to share that. I think about in my own life that when I am eager or excited about something, that I'm ready to share that with somebody, to express how excited I am. And it might be over something simple. It could be over something that's just really cool and complex. But whatever the case is, I'm always eager to share that and say, you know, I'm really excited about this, or I'm really looking forward to like next week because we're doing X, Y, and Z. And you begin to talk to people about that. You begin to share that with people. I think when we look at our own lives and our relationship with God, that if we love God, it should be very obvious. It should be very obvious when people see us that they know we love God by the way we live, by the things that we do, and the things that we say. That just like everything else in life, that people know we love something by our behavior, that they'll know we love God because of our behavior as well. That everything we do, they'll look at us and say, wow, that person is in love with God. You see, to be a Christ follower, a Christian, means that we have to be in love and not with ourselves. It means we have to truly let God's love embrace us and overflow in us. That we have to love God more than we love anything else. That means all of our actions and everything we do needs to be dictated by love. Because God loved us. And when we have that love in place, then all of a sudden we're equipped then to go out to share the gospel and to love others as well. Because we're basking in God's love, we're dwelling in God's love, and God's love is overflowing from us that we can go out and begin to love others as well. Keitel Eidemann, who is the author of the book Not a Fan, which I highly recommend, it is a really good book about individuals who are what we call churchgoers versus Christ followers. And it's a really good book, a really good read, and I highly recommend it. And in there, he was talking about his own journey, and he said, you know, what he found is that we end up loving others best when we love God the most. That he said, doing church rituals and doing other things, that's good. But in order to really love people, we need to love God the most. And that's true because we were designed for that relationship with God. We were designed to have the love of God, that we find true love from Him. But too often in life, you and I are looking for validation from things. We're looking for people to validate the love in our life, to validate us and tell us that we have purpose and we have meaning. To validate us by the things we might do or the things we might commit to. We might think by doing a lot of things and we might find love in that or find meaning in that. We might think that through the affirmation of other people that we'll feel good about ourselves and we'll finally find that love. But the truth is that we are only validated through God and through the love that God has for us. That people can affirm you the one day and the next day turn around and just totally tear you down. You can be involved in all the ministries you want, but eventually you're going to get burned out, you're going to get tired, and you're going to say, I just can't do this anymore, and you're going to get frustrated because you're doing too many things, because you're hoping to find love and meaning and purpose in that. The only true love and the only true exception is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we are validated through Him. When we don't get validated, when we don't feel like we're loved, then we get angry, we get frustrated. We begin to focus on ourselves instead of focusing on God and focusing on the church. which is exactly what Satan wants. Satan wants us to not feel validated. Satan wants us to get angry. He wants us to get frustrated. He wants to be about ourselves. And that happens so many times because of the fact that we're not truly living in God's love. The need for renewal comes because we all neglect our relationship with God. There's always something that comes up, or we'll make time for it. It happens. As a pastor, it happens in my own life, where so many times you have to choose as far as what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, that sometimes, you know, it's hard to fit God in. You got to be intentional about it. You got to put Him in your day timer and say, all right, from this time is the time I'm going to spend with God. Because if we just kind of do it off the cuff, we know it's not going to happen. But if we neglect our relationship with God, then that's when other things are going to start to steal our attention away from God and from His love. If we don't put God first, then everybody else suffers as well. Our relationships suffer because of not putting God first. That we can't love each other the way that God has called us to love each other if we're neglecting our time with God. Choices that we might make affect others as well, because if we're not seeking God and we're not putting God first, then those choices we might make can become selfish choices, which have a domino effect and begin to affect other people. We have to renew our love for God on a daily basis, because if we let our guard up, then Satan can come in and get a foothold in our lives, and we'll continue to get sucked in, and we'll continue to think it's normal, and we'll just put God on a shelf and say, you know what, I'm good, thanks God. You see, we need to be renewed every day in the love of God. We need to make sure our relationship is not taken for granted. You see, when we neglect our relationship with God, then it takes our focus off of what we're supposed to do as a church. We can't reach our community for Christ because our focus is elsewhere instead of where it should be. We look at Revelation this morning, which was read, and we look at the book of Ephesus. And if you ever read Paul's letter to the church of Ephesians, they were encouraging letters because the church of Ephesians was doing really good things. They were doing really good work for God. And if you wanted to look at a model church per se, you could probably say the church in Ephesus was one of those churches that were doing everything right. And Paul encouraged them. And Paul actually said, you know what, you're doing a good job. But then when we come to Revelation, the book of John, that John wrote, that John says to them, you're doing really well. You're growing as a church. You're doing a lot of good things as a church. They're doing wonderful things here as they're being praised for the perseverance and their hard work by John. They're being praised for the identifying false teachers that are in the midst of them that are trying to divide the church. That John is praising them for not allowing the chaos that Satan's trying to create to affect their church. That they're doing great and mighty things. But then after all the praise that John gives, that John says this in Revelation 2:4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. That John says to that church that's doing so many good things, that's great, but yet I have one problem. And that one problem is that you have forgotten your love for God. With all the good things they were doing, they were forgetting the one thing that made them who they were, the love of God and having a relationship with God. That they were so distracted by everything going on and all the things they were doing that they lost sight of the relationship with God and they didn't take time to renew it. They neglected the one passion that made them such a great church in Ephesus. They had lost their zeal and other things began to take over their affection. And I think this morning that is one warning you and I can hear today. That with everything going on in our society, with everything going on in our personal lives, and even things going within the church, is that we need to hear that warning. Yet, we have lost our first love, and that is Jesus. And I think we have to ask ourselves, have we lost our passion and our zeal and our love for God? Have we forgotten the one thing that makes us a church? That God is the one who brings us together, and that is what we have in common. It doesn't matter whether we agree or disagree on things, because we are. We're different people. We have different personalities. We think differently. That God never said that we all have to be individuals in the church to be yes people. That God says it's okay to disagree with one another, but to do so in love. Have we lost the fact that we're here because of God? That's the one thing that no matter what happens in our lives, that even we disagree with each other, that the love of God is what binds us together and brings us here. That's the one thing, no matter what happens in this world, that the love of God is what will bring us together, because that's the one thing we all have in common, and that's the thing that is most important in our lives. It's going back to that love of God. We wonder why we have different denominations because of all the infighting of, well, I don't believe this and you believe that. And they get caught up in all the things that they don't like, and they get caught up in all the distractions of what they can't believe and what they should believe. Churches get caught up in things that go on sometimes behind the scenes with people that might be upset, and they'll say, well, I don't like this or I don't like that. And the problem with having so many denominations, the problem with churches at times, is we're not doing things the way God intended us to do it. Because we forget about the one thing we have in common, which is God. If all the churches would come together and put aside all of our differences and say, let's focus on the one thing we have in common, which is the love that God has for us, imagine how this world might be different. But we spend too much time focusing on our differences. We spend too much time arguing and fighting. We spend too much time focusing on things that don't matter in eternity, folks. Because we focus on the things that divide us instead of bring us together. Just think of how the church could impact the world if we all came together, every denomination, even those that are independent churches, and we come together under the one thing that bonds us together, our love for God and what God has done for us. Imagine how that would change the world in which we live, our communities, and even our churches. Heck, it might even look like the book of Acts all over again, where everybody got together for the love, because the thing they focused on was what they had in common, the love of God. You see, when we come and we look at Peter forgot his first love. That when Peter denied Jesus three times, he forgot what he professed. He had forgot that he had said, I love you, God, and he had lost that passion. And he went away after he denied Jesus three times, and he began to hide himself, and he was no longer passionate. Peter was an individual who reacted. He didn't really think about what he was saying. He just did it. He said, yes, I love you, God, and I'll feed your sheep. But then when he was tested, he did the exact opposite. You see, so many times we can be like Peter. We can say something and not really know what we're saying. We can say, yes, God, I love you, I'll feed your lambs. But then all of a sudden we find ourselves doing the exact opposite like Peter does. That we lose our passion. We lose our love. And we begin to kind of put things aside, and we say, oh, well, now what? You see, we find here that Peter lost his first love, and he's afraid that he might be arrested and get in trouble, so he distanced himself as far as he could from Jesus because he was more concerned about himself than he was about loving God and being in love with God. You know, sometimes we forget our first love too of God. And there are many reasons for that. But I think the most important reason is because of sin. We talked about the very first week that we cannot be renewed and we cannot love God and we cannot fall in love with God if we have sin and we're living in sin. And sometimes it could just be disappointment that we just fall away from God because we're disappointed. And we can lose our passion for God because of disappointment. The truth is, I think that all of us can relate to Peter in some way, shape, or form. That we know what it's like to love Jesus with all our heart and all our soul. To be totally committed like Peter was. We know what it's like at the same time, though, sometimes to keep him at arm's length. To kind of keep him away from us because we're scared, because we want to protect ourselves, because we're caught up in the chaos that Satan wants to create. You know, I think if we would all kind of take a journal this week coming up, it'd be interesting as we look back on that journal how we might see if our lives pointed to God. That we wrote down what we did today and tomorrow and the next day. We could look back on that and say, you know what, this is how my life pointed to God. Or would it be filled with things that don't really matter in eternity? Things we're focusing on that don't matter in eternity. And when we look back, can we say, you know what, God would be pleased because of the fact that everything that I did today was pointing back to Him. You know, the good news about the story of Peter is it does not end when he denied Jesus three times. It ends when Jesus restores him and his love is renewed once again. The disciples got scared. They went back to fishing. They went back to the one thing they knew how to do well, fishing. They were scared. They were devastated. They thought Jesus was dead. I'm sure Peter must have felt guilty. That Peter could have stepped in and said, you know what, if I would have maybe stood up for Jesus, maybe he wouldn't have died on the cross. And Peter was probably harvesting a lot of guilt. And then all of a sudden, as we said before, as they're out fishing, they heard that voice on the shore calling to them. And Peter realized who it was, and he ran to Jesus. And Peter sits with him, and they have a conversation, and Jesus restores him. Because Jesus is offering Peter a second chance. Just like God offers us a second chance each and every day. Because there is no end to the grace of God. There is no end to God's love. We cannot exhaust God's love. God's love doesn't end. God's love is unconditional. It's not based upon what we do. That God's grace is always there for us. Extended to us every time we might fail. That God says, I love you. Let's do this again. The God, time and time again, is faithful, and He is faithful to His promise in which He says, I love you, you're my child, and I will constantly love you, I will constantly show you grace and mercy, and I will always be here for you. Now let's try it one more time, because God is a God of second chances. We find that Peter was given that second chance when John 21 tells us that when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And again he says, yes, Lord. And Jesus said, go feed my sheep. So he's again coming back to Peter and telling Peter, look, remember, do you love me? You said you love me. Now go and do it. I'm giving you a second chance. And it's interesting because the Greek word that's being used here is agape, love here in Greek. It is the highest form of love that is sacrificial, meaning I will do whatever it takes to show you I love you. I will do whatever it takes to feed your lambs. That agape love is one that is sacrificial, that I'll do whatever it takes. And the last response in Greek, the word is philio, meaning that he is saying, I'm going to do it because we have a relationship. Because you are like my brother, Jesus, and I will do it because we are brothers. We have a relationship. So I'm not going to just do it because you've told me to do it. I'm going to do it because we have a relationship with each other. You see, we find here that Peter confirms that love for Jesus by saying, I love you like my brother, and I will do anything for you. See, in a renewed relation for Jesus, He doesn't demand perfection. He doesn't say we all have to be perfect and have everything together. You see, we're always going to fall short no matter what we do because Romans tells us that we all have fallen short of God's glory and will continue to do that. But every day, God invites us to be a part of that relationship and be renewed in love. This is why a sincere love will grow over time. This is why love can conquer anything. That love can even stop wars because love is that powerful. You see, this morning, as we're coming and we're thinking about it. Do we have that agape love for Jesus? The I will do whatever it takes to love you. I will do whatever it takes to feed your sheep. I am that committed that I will do anything for you, Jesus, because I love you. Agape. And do we have the philios love? Because we have that relationship with Jesus. That we can say, because I have a relationship with you, I want to do this because we have a relationship. We have that commitment to each other. We have that philios love. Are we able this morning to say, as Jesus asked us, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then go feed my sheep. You see, our love for God will continue to work, and we need to invest in our love for God. We need to renew our love for God, and we need a foster relationship with Him. So this week, I want to encourage each and every one of us to do two things. The first is, I want us all to create a special time and place for God. That means, like I said, you got to take your day timer book out and say, all right, from this time, this is my time with God. Do it. Whatever it is, I want us all to create a special time and place with God. That when you're spending time with God, spend time with God in a very special place that's unique to you, where there's no distractions that are going on around you. Choose a location that you can just go to and not have to worry about being distracted with phone calls or checking emails or being in front of the TV or being in the kitchen because you get hungry and you want to get a snack while you're spending time with God. And then maybe while you're in that special place, maybe consider lighting a candle while you're there, if you're able to. And that light of that candle will remind us that God is present with us as we read and we pray, beginning to invest in our relationship with God. That light reminds us that God is with us and God loves us and God wants a relationship with us. And the second thing I want us to do is take part in a random act of kindness. That could be anything. It could be something simple. Whatever it might be, just take part in a random act of kindness. Choosing to express the love you have for God to somebody else. Choosing to show somebody else that you love them because God loved you and God loves them. To do a random act of kindness. Maybe it's something simple, just writing a letter to somebody, encouraging word. Maybe it's delivering a meal. Maybe if you're able to, it's mowing somebody's yard. Maybe it's just, you know, going and, you know, somebody's in the line ahead of you when you go out to eat, and maybe you pay for the meal, or whatever it might be. That's something for you to decide what it is. But in doing so, you're doing it because you're expressing the love that God has through you, for you, to somebody else so they can see that God loves you. You see, God went to great lengths by sending Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me to remind us of His love. To remind us that every day that we can renew in His love. So this week, I want to encourage all of us to renew that love, to renew that passion, to renew that time with Him. So we're excited, and we're excited to tell people about God and the love that God has for us because we're going and we're feeding the lambs. Because we're passionate once again. That it's time for us to rekindle that love and that passion for God because we've lost it with so much going on in the world the last year and a half. That we've lost it. We forgot about it. That it's time to renew that love. And it starts today. So I want to encourage us this week to take time to renew our love. So God, we come before You now. And we give You thanks and praise for once again bringing us here. And we pray, God, that You would help us to renew our love for You, God, because so many times we get caught up in Satan's schemes and we get distracted and we lose our focus, that we forget what it means to be in relation with You, to truly love You, to truly be there experiencing You. Lord, it's time we regain our passion once again. It's time that we as individuals take time for You and rekindle that love because we've lost that love. We've lost that first love, which is You. And we think about the church in Ephesus, as You said, wow, you're doing a lot of good things and you're growing, but you've forgotten one thing, the love and the passion You had for me. And that love and the passion, God, only comes from you. It only comes from spending time with you as individuals, God. It doesn't come from being validated from anybody else. It doesn't come from validating ourselves by doing a lot of things for the church. It doesn't come through being validated by encouraging words. It comes through you and through spending time with you. And through that, not only will our hearts be changed, not only will our purpose be changed, but we'll live in love and we will love each other because we're being drawn on the one thing that brings us in common, your love. So help us today as we leave and we go our separate ways, that we would stop focusing on the things that divide us and that we would start focusing on the things that we have in common, you and your love for us. Help us today to focus on the main thing, your love. Amen. Let us continue to worship.
Please stand as we sing this song in response. We tell Jesus how much we do love him.
My Jesus, I love thee. desire, Lord. This is my desire to honor you, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all
Jesus answered the question, well, Lord, how will they know that we're one of you? And he says that they'll know you're a follower of me by the love that you have for one another. And then as Jesus is praying for his disciples, before he goes to the cross during that Holy Week, and as he's praying for them, he's praying for us, and he says, Lord, make them one with each other, just like I am one with you. That is our prayer this week, that we can be one with each other just like Jesus was one with God by our relationship and how we invest in our relationship with God. Because that's what makes us one with God and one with each other. And so this week as we go, I encourage you to find that time and that place to renew your love and your passion for God and to think upon those words that we might be one as Jesus was one with God. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go now before you. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. God bless.